Hi, this is Nathan. This last week, we had Ben Price here from Australia teaching our advanced students the topic of evangelism. Well, this last Sunday, we had him preach a message, and it was entitled, I Don't Care. And we just thought it would be a great opportunity for you to listen to this message about the passion and the need for sharing your faith. So as a special episode of Daily Thunder, here is Ben Price sharing his message, I Don't Care.
It's Daily Thunder, booming out the truth of Jesus Christ from the Ellerslie campus in Windsor, Colorado. To learn more, go to Ellerslie.com.
Thank you, Eric. It's so good to be here, guys. And I just feel so just honored and privileged to be here because I've been watching, I think since 2012, I've been watching Eric's messages. So to be able to stand here and preach, it's an honor. I don't take it lightly. So I feel very, very special. I've been profoundly impacted by Eric's messages and indeed Nathan and of course Phillips and this body. It's just so good to meet everyone here and it's just been so rich getting to know all the students here. So it's been awesome. I've been really enjoying it and loving the messages, which, you know, we don't want to just hear good teaching, but I want to be able to copy that. And I've kind of gone a little bit further by sort of copying not just the doctrine of what we hear, but the voice of Eric. I just kind of went a bit too far, because when I've heard Eric for a long time speaking, you know, I start to, as a result, start to sound like Eric. So it starts happening when you start speaking like that, and in so doing, you end up sounding like his voice. So that's that's a little bit. But the funny thing is, I've been catching up on all the Daily Thunders, and I'm a little behind. I'm sorry to say, but. And I'm sure some of us are in the same boat where you have to kind of listen at 1.5 speed. So I'm working on a new impression. That's Eric 1.5. And so it's a lot faster like this. When I'm listening to Daily Thunder, it's a lot like that. So I can't keep up with the, you know, it's hard. And then I slow it down every now and then. And it's isn't the weirdest thing? It just sounds like, is that what they really sound like? I've been listening for weeks and weeks at 1.5, and then it's like, so, Daily Thunder, World War II, episode 200. And you're like, what? No, I got to listen to 1.5. So it has been so good to be here this past week. We went out yesterday sharing the gospel with the students, and that was such a blessed time. It was a wonderful experience that I'll cherish, and we'll probably have that again because there's always twos, right? You got to have the second one. So that'll be fun. And I'll share a little bit about, well, here's the title for my message. You can put it up there and just let that linger. I guess you could be thinking, because I was trying to think of a title all week, what do I call my message? And you might have thought, they'll say, we need it. And it's like, I don't care. But that's not the context. So when you understand the context, this is going to be a lot better. So that's my message, I don't care. I shared this with the students earlier this week where I talked about when I was 7. And from a little child onward, I knew the truth. I'm one of those people that grew up in the church, have known the Lord all my life, and I'm so privileged. It's just so beautiful to have that. I grew up in the ways of the Lord. When you know that, you won't depart from it. And my mum really brought me up in the ways of the Lord, knowing Christ, and I'm so grateful for that. And she and my dad came to the Lord in the last moments, well, the last 7 months of his life by the grace of God. But I remember when my mum taught me the basics. You know, there's God, there's Satan, there's truth, there's lies, there's heaven, there's hell. And when I kind of understood that fundamental concept, as a kid who was 7, I put, you know, this logic together of like, well, okay, if we have Jesus, shouldn't we tell the people that don't? Like, shouldn't we tell them the good news? That just made sense. That was my 7-year-old logic. Makes sense, doesn't it? And I had never even heard of that we're actually supposed to. My mum had told me, yeah, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. I'd never been taught. I don't think I had. I didn't know the Great Commission. I didn't know that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. But it just made sense to me. If there's people that don't know the truth and we've got it, doesn't it make sense to just go and tell them? And so I thought, yeah, let's go and do it. So I got my good mate, Tim, and I said, right, let's go. And I didn't have a strategy, and I don't know if he really even wanted to come. And he said, okay, well, I'll come. And we went down to a local park, And there was about seven or eight kids down there. And I remember I just launching into an open air preaching. A seven. It was like this hill. I'm standing at the top of the hill and down the bottom of the hill, kind of symbolic almost of these kids all down there. And I'm going, hey, I said, do you guys believe in Jesus? And they're like, nah. I said, well, you're going to hell. I remember it really well. And I said, you guys go to church? They're like, nah. And I said, well, you need to believe in Jesus or you're going to hell. And that was my message. And I even remember having conversations with this one particular kid. I even remember the exact spot of the park. I've been back there and just sort of stood there and looked around. And I remember talking to this guy and said, what do you think happens after we die? And he's like, we just get buried. Cobwebs grow over our grave. You know, that's it. And I'm like, nah. And he's like, nah. And I'm like, nah. That was my apologetics. I'm a lot better with apologetics now, I would hope. You know, when someone goes, I don't believe in God, nah, nah. And we were just like, nah, 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 nah. That was my first debate. And I can't say that I made a lot of friends that day. I can't say that anyone was really converted that day. I can't even say that. I think these kids went to my school. I probably looked like an idiot to all of them. And it might have looked like, you know, it was unsuccessful. But you know what? I could say, I don't care. I don't care what they think of me. And that was the attitude that I had, this I don't care attitude. And I kind of love that about my past self when I was seven, that I had this raw, like, you know, there were some things I needed to fix and learn, but I just had this raw passion. We've got to share this. And I would share with everybody I knew. In fact, when I was similar age, seven or eight, I had my good mate, Simon, who I used to say, mate, you've got to believe in Jesus. And he'd say, no, I don't believe it. And he said, my parents said it's all made up. And I said, nah. And he's like, nah. And I'm nah. And you know, you can see how it went. And this went on. And I said, you have to believe. And we got to a point, he came over for a sleepover one night. And I remember it quite vividly. We were having, you know, playing whatever. And I don't know what we were doing back then. But I remember we were looking out the window and there was this big storm. I even vividly remember seeing the lightning in the sky. Still, it's in my mind, it's embedded there. And I looked over at Simon and I said, you know, we could die in this storm and you'd go to hell, mate. I said, you need to believe. And he's like, all right, I will, I'll believe. What am I going to do? And I went, I don't know, I've never been this far. Mum, can you help? And Mum prayed for him and he became a believer. To this day, he's still a believer in Christ, which is amazing. I'm not saying that's how we evangelize, wait for a storm, wait for a tornado, but, you know, praise the Lord, he got to hear, and I was unashamed, and I said, I don't care. I could lose my friendship. I don't care what it comes with. Even as a teenager, and I shared this a little bit with the students, that when I was, you know, I was interested in girls when I was in my teenage years, and they were interested in me, but then they found out, you just talk about God all the time. And I'm like, yeah. And they said, you know, I remember a girl saying, oh, my mum thinks it's a crutch. And I'm like, nah. She's like, nah. And you know, that's how it went. And so I didn't care whether they, you know, I risked relationships because of it. And yet the older I got, I still loved God. You know, I've never stopped loving God. I don't think I've ever stopped, you know, walked away from church or walked away. I've always loved the Lord, but there was a time where I kind of got comfortable. And I know we can all have that where we can drift a little bit. It's like being out in the ocean and, you know, you're like, oh, I'm okay. And then you look back and you're, wow, I couldn't believe how far I drifted in these waves. There's a rip. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. There was a season of my life where I became kind of lukewarm, and I hate the thought of that. That's a horrible thought because, yeah, I've been enjoying coffees here, and I'm from Melbourne where we kind of love our coffee. If ever I get it, it's warm. It's like, yeah, nah, take it back. It's meh. That's been our word of the week, hasn't it? Because we talked about that with the students, you know, when we talk about the gospel. Often, if we just share the gospel, some people just go, meh, like that. But that's my response. If I get a lukewarm coffee, I want to take it back. And that's where I was. That's where I was in my faith for a long season. I was still going to church. I was still going to a Bible study every 2 weeks. I was still, oh, I would occasionally read my Bible. I was embarrassed because I remember there was a season when I was probably in my early to mid-30s. Wow, I'm trying to think when that was, how long ago. But I remember, yeah, I could figure it out. I could do the math. But I remember I dusted the front cover of my Bible, and I was so embarrassed, this thick layer of dust. I'd been watching an hour and a half of television every night. And I'm not saying, you know, we should never do that, but I was doing that way too much. And I started to care about what people thought of me rather than care about what does God actually think about me. Rather, I was caring about the world. I was doing comedy as a career, which is okay in of itself, but I was making that my number one thing. And I was even actually praying, God, could you bless what I'm doing here? Could you bless this? And that's okay, but rather than having this attitude of, I don't care, God, you gave me this. Whatever you want to do with it, I don't care. I want you to bless this however you want. If you don't want me to have it, that's okay. You can take it away. And so I was over here in this lukewarm state. And then I guess it was probably close to 2009. Do you remember back those days where we had, I think it might have been the start of the global financial crisis, which looks kind of like nothing. That just looks like, you know, Wednesday these days. But, you know, it's like, yeah, we have that every week now. But it was really big at the time. And I guess I must have thought at that time, I really need to get back into reading the Bible. And I had this friend of mine, Daniel, who I caught up with for a coffee, a nice hot coffee. And yeah, he said, what he's been doing is learning chapters of the Bible. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Like verses, that's wonderful. But he's learning chapters. And he said, what we do is we'll just learn a whole chapter and we'll come back in a month and we'll recite that to one another and we'll catch up. And we're not allowed to look, you know, not allowed to cheat, and we'll learn this. And he said, we'll start with the Psalms. And I learned Psalm 1. That was good spot to start. And I remember telling this lady who was Chinese, she probably still is. I haven't seen her in a while. I said that Psalm 1 had helped me. And she's like, oh, Psalm 1 helped me too. I'm like, not Psalm 1, Psalm 1. anyway, I learned Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4. I learned 8 Psalms. I'd learned them. They were in my head. And I thought, this is good, I'm getting back. But I still cared. I cared about what people thought of me. And I don't know why I was like that, because I was having success with doing comedy. I was having popularity. There was an element of fame that went with it. There was things that came along with that. And I started to care because I thought, if they find out I'm a Christian, that just does not mix. And I was a little embarrassed, even to the point where people said, what did you do on the weekend? And I'd tell them, oh, I did this, I watched a movie, I had dinner. And I'd be going, in my mind, why did I not tell them I went to church? At least just be that. I don't have to necessarily share the gospel. I couldn't even say that I went to church. But I thought, if I did, then I could springboard off that to the gospel. I couldn't do it. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why am I so embarrassed to say that? I never used to care when I was a kid. And suddenly, oh, I care. I'm in church. I didn't care. Who knew, right? But when I was out there in the world, I really cared. Oh, it was so embarrassing. And I remember even having this prayer. I said, God, I want to be able to say that I don't care. I want to be able to say, please, Lord, I don't care. And I remember actually it was probably late 2009. I woke up in the middle of the night. Now, I'd been learning all these Psalms. Remember that? And I think they were more in my head. They hadn't really translated down into my heart yet. It was just like I was reciting it. And I woke in the middle of the night and I had this headache. And it was at the back of my head. And I remember, this is weird, I've never experienced this in my life. And I remember thinking this thought, I could pass out in my sleep and I could die. And I barely slept that night. And I don't know what it was, but I remember the next day, I just pushed through the day. And the next day just happened to be my son's 5th birthday. And you need a lot of energy for that, right? If you've got kids, you know I've got to push every reserve energy and I'll get through the day. God, help me to get through it. And I'm going to sleep it off the next night. And, you know, my son's 19 now, so that's back when this was. And I remember going to sleep the next night. Fell asleep, but I woke up. It's always in the middle of the night, isn't it? And I woke up 2-ish and again, I've got this headache right at the back of my head. I'm shaking. I've got tension all up around my chest. And I was telling my wife, I said, I don't know what's wrong. There's something, this is not right. And she said, maybe go to the doctor. So I'm going to go now. So I went, I drove to the hospital and they saw me and they said, we'll do a blood test and we'll figure out what it is. You sit on the bed, maybe have a sleep for a little bit. And maybe I couldn't sleep because I was tense. And I thought, you know, this would be a really good time to have the Bible. And because I left in a hurry, I didn't have my Bible, but I thought, oh, I've learned 8 Psalms. And I'm thinking, I don't even know if it's going to help me or be appropriate to what I'm feeling, but it'll be good. It'll give me something to make the time pass by. And so I'm sitting there and I'm feeling anxious. I need some sort of relief because I'm stressed. I need an answer. God, what is this? That's how I'm feeling. And I thought, I won't start with Psalm 1. I'll start in the middle and I'll do Psalm 4 and I'll work my way around. And Psalm 4 in my head, I was going, okay, answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my cry for help. And then I went, oh, wow. I was like, hang on a minute. Suddenly it's translated to my heart. I'm going, hang on, God, that's not a coincidence. That was written about 3,000 years before, and I could never have articulated anything so perfect as to what I was experiencing right there and then that David wrote all those years ago. Right, this is good. And right at the end of that, it says, and I will lay down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And because I couldn't sleep, and I thought, okay, God, I know you're with me. And then they gave the blood test. I'm all good. I got a CT brain scan. Couple days later, there was an Indian doctor who came out and he's like, no, it is okay, no problem. It's all good, nothing, nothing, nothing. I was like, don't say nothing when you're talking about my brain, but he's like, you're just stressed. You're just stressed, Mr. Price, it's fine, you'll be okay. And I was like, oh, I'm stressed, I'm anxious. That's what I had, this anxiety. And I don't know what it was. I have no idea why I was experiencing this anxiousness. It was the feeling, and I know a lot of people get anxiety these days, but for me, I'd never really experienced it. I never knew what it was. But I remember, and I used to look at people and say, why would you be anxious? But I was suddenly anxious, but it wouldn't stop. And it was the feeling like, now I've got 3 kids, which is not much compared to some of you guys. it's a little family. But if you've ever lost one of your kids, and I mean momentarily, if you're ever out in a public area and you're like, where are they? You know that feeling? We've all had it, I'm sure, right? and then you see them and you're like, oh, that relief. Isn't it just sweet when you see them? You're like, come here, and you love them, give them a big hug. And then about 10 seconds later, they're like, why did you do that? You get, but I love you. I'm glad you're back. And it was like that feeling of where are they? But there was no relief. And that was what I was going through for weeks, and it was almost months that I went through it, and it was just not stopping. I couldn't sleep, and the less sleep, the more anxious you became. And I'm just praying, God, please heal me, because I looked at Psalm 103 that God heals all our sicknesses, all our diseases, and I believe, God, please heal me. I don't know why I'm going through this. And I remember at the time I was booked in to get laser eye surgery, and because I used to like be like, who are that? No, it's my wife. Oh, okay. And it was like I needed it, and it helped. I was looking forward to the pain of that. That's how bad the mental pain was. I was looking forward to going through some physical pain. I thought that'll be good until I got it. And I was like, I immediately regret that. The pain in my eyes was like glass. I don't want to put you off if you're thinking about getting it. Because I could see, and it was like a good result. Thank you, God. But I remember while I was recovering, I was lying in bed and my eyes are sore. I feel like I've got glass in them. And I'm crying because of the pain, and I'm crying because I'm anxious. And I just cried out, God, please help me. And it was just this moment of surrender, complete surrender. And I said, God, I don't care. I don't care if I lose my comedy. I don't care if I lose my career. I want to do whatever you want me to do. At this moment where I surrendered everything. And I was born again, but it felt like I'd become born again. It was like, this is a moment, God, where I want to be all in for Jesus. And I don't care if I lose my friends. I don't care if I lose popularity, fame, or anything like that I'm trying to go for. I don't care. I just want you, Jesus. And it was that moment. And I was crying, I was repenting of so many things. Because when your alignment is off and you're focused on other things as opposed to Christ, you know, there's a lot of things. You're dealing with anger and frustration. You're dealing with lust issues in your mind. You're dealing with all these things that you're putting above God. And I surrendered it to God and I said, I want to be all in for you, Jesus. I don't care. Because I had been previously covering up all of that and I cared. And, you know, it says in Matthew 5:15, so let's have a look at that. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all those who are in the house. I had been, as I said, in church, I didn't care who saw me, praise God, hear me pray, see me read the Bible. I didn't care about any of that stuff. But I was, you know, at the world, I was getting this spiritual basket or a bowl or a bushel, depending on the version of Bible you read. I was covering that light. And I remember telling, it wasn't long after, you know, I guess it was like after a year or so, I was telling some of the men at my church how I hate that bowl. It just comes out when I'm in the world. I said, I want to get rid of that bowl. I want to smash that bowl. I don't care about it. That's where I was. And I started to read the Bible. And I mean, I'd read the whole Bible cover to cover, but then I was starting to read the Bible. And it was like, you know, just like it was interesting because at the same time I was getting laser eye surgery, I could suddenly see clear. It was weird. I don't know if anyone's had laser eye surgery here, but I would go to a restaurant and I'd be just looking at people like, people, what are you doing? I'm looking at the people across there. Why? They were blurry before that. This is like, you know, in that story in the Bible, it's like, oh, wow, it became clearer and clearer. And but spiritually, it was the same thing. When I read the Bible, I'm seeing stuff now, literally seeing stuff and going, how did I not see this verse before? How can we just go past that? And I remember seeing this particular verse, which just, it just changed so much because I saw, Mark 8:35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. I had been trying to save this life. I'd been trying to preserve that life where it was, you know, even God was included in it. And I was like, God, please help all this. I'd been trying to save that. But once I said, I don't care. I'm losing that life for his sake and the gospel, I'll save it. This is the life I care about. And it doesn't look attractive because I remember, you know, so many people going, oh, you're living the dream, you're doing all that. And it's like, no, that looks nothing compared to the life that I have in Christ. And I'd see that. And it just challenged me to go, even whatever people think about me, because I started sharing publicly and posting about my Christianity, and people would say, if you want to do really well, you probably don't want to post stuff like that. They'd message me. And even Christians would say, kind of, yeah, I agree, but just keep that, you know, quiet. And I'd be like, no, I don't care anymore. You know, I might upset people, but and I'm not trying to do that, but I just don't care about that anymore. I care about their souls. I do. But I don't care what they think of me. I don't care if I lose any of that. So it says, Jesus says in Matthew 10, don't fear those that can kill the body, but can kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I will always say that I always loved the Lord, but I didn't have the fear of the Lord. That's the difference. I think when we fear the Lord, we don't fear or we don't care. I care about what God wants. I care about this life, not that life. He's the one that can send my soul and body into hell. I want to fear the Lord. I'm sure if we went around to every single church in America and asked here, who loves Jesus? You know, you know what? That would take a long time. But if we did, if we said, who here loves Jesus? Every person would put their hand up, I'm sure. But if we said, who here has a fear of the Lord? I mean, people probably would go, oh, I guess it's the right answer. But do they really? It's a lacking thing that we see. We know there's not, and I didn't have enough fear of God. I didn't take it seriously. And once God woke me up from my slumber, my lukewarm life where I stopped putting that bowl over that light, I had a fear of the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you keep his commandments. And it's like, not just like, oh, I have to, oh, I want to, I love to do that. Here's a quote from One of my favorite preachers, Leonard Ravenhill, who says, a man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by men. I have to read it in his voice, you know that. A man who is intimate with God is not intimidated by men. That's a quote from Leonard Ravenhill. I love that. I love his voice. I'd love to meet him in heaven one day and just, wow, keep talking. It's so good. But it's true. And that you could even say about that quote, you know, where it says who is intimate with God. When we care about the things of God, we don't care about the things of man. I don't care. Makes sense. The 12 spies. This would make an epic movie. But aside from that, I love the story. You're familiar with it in Numbers. Numbers has some really good gems. You know, we often think such a hard book to get through, but there's this beautiful story where they go into the promised land and it takes a while for them to kind of see what's going on. I'm sure these days you could send drones in there and just check it straight away. Yep, it's all good. But in those days, they sent 12 men from one from each tribe, as you know. And I'm sure, it doesn't say exactly, but I'm positively sure that Moses wouldn't have picked random guys. I'm sure he would have picked the most capable, the guys that knew how to do the job, that had no fear. He could say, you guys go in and give us a report about this land that's flowing with milk and honey, which it sounds probably amazing to them. For us, it's like milk and honey. You know, think about lattes and protein power balls from Coffee House 29. That would be, oh yeah, I want to check that out. That would be good. Think about nitro brew coffee from Starbucks. That's what I've been enjoying. That's a land of that. Oh wow, let's go and check that out. And they come back with the report and it's like, yep, there is. It's milk, there's honey. What about the grapes? Oh yeah, let me imagine putting those grapes down and like, yeah, but there's giants in the land, right? And we look like grasshoppers. We're it's just impossible. It's a lot like us where we go, yeah, we want to go out and share the gospel. We want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to see so many souls and we get excited, but we go, yeah, but there's atheists. There's agnostics. I can't do it. And I love the response from Caleb. It's one of the best verses here. It says, Numbers 13:30, then Caleb quieted the people. I imagine the Aussie version, like, oi, guys, listen. He said, let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That's a good response right there, to go into this place. Now, I've often thought he's either crazy or he knows something, or he rather knows someone. He knows, yeah, we can do it. And I would say the same. We can do it. We can go into Fort Collins. We can go into our local area, wherever that may be. We can go into the world. We can do it. We are more than able to overcome it. Gideon, he's not the guy who we aspire to be when we look at biblical characters necessarily, because, you know, we often default, well, apart from Jesus, we default to David. Whereas Gideon's a guy who I think we can all really relate to, because he was a man who was filled with fear. And yet, bear that in mind. He's filled with fear, and this is what God says to him through the angel of the Lord. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Some versions will say brave man, strong soldier, valiant warrior, or mighty warrior. That's a funny thing to say to someone who's filled with fear. I'm sure he's thinking, yeah, you got the wrong guy. That's not me. And I would say, I want to say the same thing to you guys. We might be going, I love that you had some boldness, but I don't think I could go out and share the gospel. I'm not as equipped. I don't have the skills that you might do it, but I'll pray for you. I'll support what you do, but I don't know if I can get out there. That's a bit hard to deal with some of these people. Really wish I could, but I would say the same to you. Even in that condition, you are mighty men and women of valor. Even though you're feeling that, but like that seems a little odd. The word valor, just in case you're thinking, what does that mean? Dictionary here describes it as great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. And Gideon must have been thinking, yeah, right. This is his response. He said, Lord, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. It's like, you've got to be joking. Me? We could say the same response. It might look like this. We might say, oh, Lord, how can I share the gospel? Indeed, I feel like the weakest person in all of Windsor or Wisconsin or Texas, y'all, or Melbourne, wherever you're from. I'm the least in my family. Who am I? I am no one to go out there and do that. Really? Come on. And here's what the Lord said to Gideon, if we go back to that. In verse 16, the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. What a great promise. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And do you know what? God says exactly the same for us. When we're called to go out and share the gospel, we go, how can I do it? He says the very same thing. He doesn't say it quite like that, but he actually does. You might not realize this in the Great Commission itself. So let's have a look at this. We know this, but let's check this out. You might not see this. And Jesus said, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It says amen, which got missed out there. But I don't know if you picked that up there, guys, because there's two words there that I want to just kind of bold and highlight there that I want you to remember. We know the go. There's that word go. We've got to go out somewhere. We've got to preach the gospel. It says we always remember the go, but there's the lo. Now we go, oh, I know that little word, lo, because it says lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's the exact same thing that Gideon got told. Surely I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that good to know that we're not going, of course, in our strength? Because it's very easy to go in a moment of, all right, let's do it and be enthusiastic about the gospel. Enthusiasm is good and grit and determination is really good, but You'll go out there and you'll fall flat and you'll go, oh, we need something a lot greater. We need to know, lo, I'm with you. That's the best thing. We always go in teams, but knowing he is with us. That's why every time I come back, and I said this to the students, and even yesterday, every single time of the hundreds or thousands of times I've been out sharing the gospel with teams, doesn't matter what happens, if it's rain, hail, or snow yesterday. It was fun going out in the snow. I came away filled with joy every single time because we're in the presence of the Lord, and in his presence there's fullness of joy, even when we're sharing the gospel. We often think, and I know some of the students even like, it was so much better than we thought because we've got the joy of the Lord. We've got fellowship. We've got exciting opportunities. People are hearing the good news, whether they reject it or not, they're hearing it. This is so good. I get excited about it. And then going back to Gideon, it says, he took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared the father's house, his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. You could easily read that verse and go, well, Gideon was a bit of a wuss, right? Come on. Do it during the day. Don't be embarrassed. You know, he's a bit like me, like he's covering that light, literally. But the good thing is, he did it. He got rid of the idols. Because we might say, well, all I did was hand out a couple of tracts. There's a guy on one of my teams. We have 10 teams going out all around Melbourne. One of the guys said to me, there was a guy who'd been on a previous team he was on who knew I've got to do this. But he started at night putting tracts in mailboxes. Well, I don't know if I'd want to do that. I'd be doing it during the day, but he did it at night. And then when he got confident, he started putting them in the mailbox during the day. And then he started saying hi to people, and then he started talking to people. And then it just grew and grew from there, where he became an evangelist. See, this might be the part where you start, just saying, I just want to start somewhere. I've got to start. Maybe I just need to go at night. Maybe, but I think you guys have bypassed that a lot because they were having discussions yesterday. It was incredible. It was great. So, but know this. But no, not just that. The other thing is he got rid of idols. And maybe that's what we need to start with as well. If there's, just like I had to come back to that moment of surrender and say, God, please forgive me for all these things before I go out. Maybe there's things that are hindering you. And maybe if it's the fear itself, because we're told, do not fear so many times, 366 times in the Word of God, do not fear. And maybe that fear is there. And even though I say, God, I can't help it, that's true. I would say that, God, I can't help it. I've recognized that He can help it. He can help that. And just give it over to the Lord. Whatever's hindering you, whatever's preventing you, whatever that obstacle is, get that right. Just, and it might be a small idol, but don't have it. Get rid of that and just be free to say, I don't care. Because even if it's like something in your life where if I tell, I'm good to share the gospel with these people, that's easy. But if I share it with my work colleagues, that's going to mean a whole, and I know we have to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, but there are certain people that we think, boy, I can't share with those because I could lose my job. And if I lose my job, and you might not do it straight away, but all I'm saying is let God train that in you to say, I want to get to that point where I completely say, God, I don't care, whatever it comes with. The Ant-Man. This has nothing to do with any kind of superhero movie at all. A little story, a couple of years ago, we had some ants at our home, and little ants that were on our kitchen bench, and my wife said, could you deal with the ants? We've got an ant problem. There might be anyone here from the south going, we had an ant problem too, and my uncle too, but not that ant. We had a literal ant problem. My aunt Patsy, we got to get rid of her. No, we had ants all over our kitchen bench. There was like a half a dozen ants, and I put my foot down. Well, I put my thumb down. This is what I did. Honey, I'm getting rid of... And it's funny I said honey because that's what attracted them to the first place. And I washed them down the sink. There, done. No more ants. The next day, they all come back. It's all right. Don't worry. I've got this. And I did that. And I kept doing that to the point where it's like, we've got a real problem because they just... I don't know why. They just loved our house. They kept coming back. And it was like, this is annoying. So we had to call the Ant Man. And it's funny. The Ant Man was this... I expected him to be like that big and kind of fly. It's like little guy, Irish guy. And I loved it because his accent, he's going, that's right, you've got a problem with ants here in the house and so what we're going to do. That was his voice. I'm like, this is great. Keep talking to me. He said, yeah, you got lots of ants here and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get those chemicals and I'm going to spray them all throughout the house and so that's going to get rid of all those ants and you're not going to have them come back for a couple of years. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I just kept saying, so what else do you do? Like, I'm like, keep talking to me. Like, what kind of ants? Lots of ants, you know. Bull ants, sugar ants, white ants, black ants are all there. Elephants. Yeah, we got the whole lot there. Like, wow, that's amazing. We dealt with it once and for all. It wasn't in my strength. We had to go to someone greater who was the Ant Man. And it did. The ants didn't come back. We got rid of them, but we prevented them from coming back. And I think we need to get rid of the fear, not in our own strength. We've got to go to the Ant Man, which we know is, I think we can safely say that's the capital A Ant Man, which to quote Eric with the capital A, would be Christ, because there's a beautiful verse that I love. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And I think we all know this pretty well, but it's easy for us to go, well, the ant is hardworking, the ant is diligent, so let's have that enthusiasm. Let's be diligent, let's go out, let's share the gospel, let's not be lazy, we'll go to the ant. But we need that stronger sense of, and I love how Eric has always shared about the there's twos, which I do love that. I'm not to parody that in any way because I do. But I love the fact that there is always that first life and the second life. So maybe we need to go to the second ant because I feel like we always go to that maybe that first where we have that enthusiasm. And that first could be, well, it's Adam, isn't it? So it would, of course, naturally... I'm going to show you this first. So that's not what... Adam, by the way. It's like, what is that? I forgot to mention, this guy here is Paul Anderson. He was, I think he died a few years back, the strongest man in the world. Because when we look at an ant is, you know, you think, well, they're hardworking. But more than that, it's said that they can lift up to 1,000 times their body weight. And I don't know how they measure that. I don't know how they get little scales to... Put the ant, put whatever he's got on his back. I'm not sure how they actually, but it's said, let's just go with it. They can lift 1,000 times their body weight, and depending on the kind of ant. This guy was able to lift 17 times his body weight. That's crazy. And he's got, you know, quite the body to lift up 17 times of that, right? So that's a lot of strength. We'll never get that. I think I got in my early 30s, I was able to lift 1.5 times my body weight at that time. And I remember I was at the gym and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to lift. And I think it was the equivalent of like 300 pounds I was benching. I think it was like 150 kilos. And I remember I did it and I told my wife one day, I came home and I said, oh, I felt so strong. I said, I benched 150 kilos today, which is like 300 pounds thereabouts. And she's like, oh, that's good. I was expecting her to go, well, aren't you the handsome, strong man? No, she didn't say that. She said, well, why don't you use that strength and mow the lawns? And I've never felt so weak in my entire life. But it's true. I could lift 1.5. It's nothing. This guy could do 17 times. But compare that to an ant. It's nothing. We will never do it. And that's why, because we often go to our first strength. We go to Adam, which is why we're Adam Ant. And we're like, I'm adamant. I know this is cheesy, but I want you to remember it. I'm adamant. I can do it. We can get out there. We can make it happen. But we need, lo, I am with you. We need the strength of Christ to, you know, that same power that he had to rise from the dead. That's in us. Through the Holy Spirit. We need that strength who was triumphant. So we need the triumph ant. That's what we need. If we're going to not care and be all about Jesus and share the gospel, we need to be triumphant in this. We have a huge harvest. We need his strength. And we need to have an I don't care attitude. We do. We have such a huge harvest, guys. This is a quote you might be fairly familiar with from Bill Bright, formerly of Campus Crusaders, said that only 2% of Christians actively share their faith. 2%. And I'm in Australia where I would say it's even less. And I don't know if it's changed at all, that statistic, but 2%. It doesn't match the problem that we've got. We've got a huge problem of sin out there. We've got a massive harvest. And only 2%. We love the Lord. We pray. We're good. I would say we're pretty good. Even though we can improve, we can read the scriptures. We can study the scriptures. We can have fellowship. But there's this weak arm. It's not good enough that, like, I look at it and go, and yes, we need to train it. We've got to start somewhere. But let's start saying, let's reverse that. Could you imagine if 98% of Christians went out and said, well, I don't care. What happens? Let's do it. Can you imagine what we'd see an impact? I was thinking about this because I thought a lot of what we do is seed sowing. We don't see people just there on the spot come to Christ. But if we all sowed seeds here, there, and there, and we keep doing it regularly and actively, pretty soon, after a while, oh, that's sprouting up. Oh, that's sprouting up. It's all people coming to Jesus. Can you imagine how that would look? It's kind of exciting. Let's turn this around and see. I thought I'd read a couple of quotes here. I have to read them in their voice because William Booth was someone who did that, someone who didn't care. And he had, you know, a pretty decent place on the west end of London, and he went to the east end. He's got a funny voice, so let me not put that off. Not called, you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. There we go. I could keep reading, but I thought I'd just focus on that. You can look at that. You can take a photo of that if you want, because if I do William Booth for a long period of time, I'll lose my voice. But it's great, isn't it? He had such a boldness. You know, I'm going to read this, and hopefully I'll do David Wilkerson's voice. True freedom from fear consists of totally resigning one's life in the hands of the Lord. He's got a good voice, but it's true. Freedom from fear consists of resigning one's life in the hands of the Lord. It's like when we fear the Lord, we don't fear the world. It's saying more or less the same thing. When we care about what the Lord cares about, we go, I don't care. Whatever I lose. Revelation 12:11, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we could dig deep into this, but just that part here, they did not love their lives to the death. Even if we die, it's like I could lose my job, I could lose my friends, but death, am I willing to lose my life for the sake of the gospel? Where I say, I don't care even about my life, even if I really die. Oh, that's my... Philip was talking about this earlier. I have 10 teams. I'm saying this because I want you guys to pray for me as we go out. That you can follow me on here if you want. That's bought with a price because we've gone out. It's and by the way, it started with just me going out to my local area and then a friend of mine, Chris. And for 10 years almost, we would go out, share the gospel, and we couldn't get many people to join us. It was just the two of us. And then we had this thing called lockdowns in Melbourne. And after we got out on parole, it felt like that. We had all these people join us. And now it's just incredible. We have 10 teams that just sprouted up. And people said, well, what are you doing? I said, we're praying. The Bible says to pray earnestly for the harvesters. And that's what we're doing. We're just praying every single day. And people are joining us. So it's not me. God's bringing people, and it's exciting to see that we're starting to turn this around. And my hope, my prayer is that it would happen all over around the world, whether it's under that banner or not, that Christians would do it, that we'd share the gospel, be unafraid, unashamed, not care, and start doing it, start fearing the Lord, not fearing the world. We can do it. We're men and women of valor. Remember that? I got to do it in London last year. That was with, I was doing live crosses because it was a big outreach, and I was doing it with Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort's the New Zealander who speaks like that and asks people he's a good person. And so I got to do these live crosses. But the reason I'm showing you this, I want to share a little story about my friend who was over there. And we got to speak to thousands of people with £1 million notes with King Charles. It was exciting. And for the coronation, as he would call it, I call it the coronation. So my friend who lives over there, he was my best friend from high school. And I would share the gospel with him all the time. He didn't respond. Again, it was like, yeah, nah. And I would always share the Lord with him. He was never interested. And in fact, at one point, I nearly lost my friendship. See, it was again saying, I don't care. Even if I lose my friendship, I had shared the gospel with him via email because he's been over there for 20 years and he was hostile towards me. And I responded back and it was like, wow, this is the worst thing I could have done because he just got really aggressive in the email toward me. And I knew I'd said what I had to say because I spoke the truth in love. And I remember telling my wife, you know, it's a funny thing to say, but I said, I would rather not be his friend and see him go to heaven than to stay friends and see him go to hell. You know, if I stay his friend and I never say anything because he's my friend, I would rather risk my friendship but know that I've said what I had to say. Well, thankfully, we you know, let the dust settle and we're still friends. And I saw like a little softening over the years, but there was still a still in opposition towards God. Well, when I went over there last year in May, I got to hang out with him for a bit, and we were supposed to do some filming and interview people out on the streets with the gospel, and one of the camera guys couldn't go, and I thought, oh, well, I'm booked to go. And they said, maybe a friend could go. Said, okay. And so he came with me, and I thought, well, he's going to film me. And okay, inadvertently, he's going to hear the gospel. Isn't this cool? So I'm sharing with someone, but I'm bearing in mind that my friend here is filming us, and he got to hear it, which was really cool. I thought, that's cool. Wow, what a good way of being able to do it. Well, a couple of days later, I got to hang out with him for a couple of days, and we're just driving around. He's showing me around various parts of England. This is cool. I'm enjoying it. But more importantly, he's asking me questions about the gospel. And I'm like, this is really good. By the end of the day, I'm like, this is amazing. He's asking me all these things I'm able to share, and he's able to understand and unpack these things. And then the next morning, as I stayed over there, he makes me this cup of tea, because that's what they do in England. We'd like a cup of tea. Not that he talks like that. He's still Aussie, but he makes me a cup of tea, and then he just looks at me, and we're about to go out and keep touring around, and he says, yeah, he goes, I've been thinking about the gospel. And I just, I nearly start tearing up. And I'm like, oh, well, before we go out, I was quick trip to the restroom. I'm like, oh, just, oh, God, yes. And I come out, all right, let's go. And I was just so excited that the Lord had worked on this seed. And we go out and we're touring around and, you know, he's showing me all this stuff, which was great. But the whole time we're talking about it, I'm like, this is amazing. At the end of that stint of the trip, I was about to continue the journey, and my friend was going to come pick me up and we'll make our way back to London again. We had 10 minutes left, and I said, I'd never done this before. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. And I just prayed, and I was emotional as I'm praying, but I said, Lord, I want him to know you the way I know you. And I knew that the seed had been planted. I was like, this is good. Praise God. And when I got back to Melbourne, he sends me this Marco Polo video message, and he's just like, oh, it was such a good time. He said, brother, I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, that's right, I'm a brother in Christ. I'm like, oh, I'm showing my wife, look at this. And she goes, he sounds like a Christian. I'm like, he is, it's amazing. And it's the best thing to see, you know. And it took 33 years of praying for him. There's a lot of tilling of the soil. There's a lot of planting of the seeds of the gospel. But when you see that, it's the greatest thing in the world. And I just think, thank God I had that moment where I didn't care. And I want us to be men and women who go, I don't care anymore. Choose to say, today, whatever I've cared about, my reputation of, oh, I look like one of those idiot guys who stands up there, doesn't matter. And again, not in our strength. We need his strength. He's with us. I'll just flick through some of these, because that's some of our team. That's one of our teams. One of them's doing the interview. That was a few weeks back in my city of Melbourne that so desperately needs Jesus. And that was last week. We went there, and it was a beautiful day in Fort Collins. And then that was yesterday, the difference with snow. Random weather, but it was fun. And so there's all you guys. And it was just the best time. Just even having us there. Even if we think, did I do anything? You were there. You're willing. And that's where we start. We're walking towards where we want to be. We're training in that. And so that was really cool. And then just to reiterate this again, guys, let this verse be something that really stands out to you, where we say, God, if I've tried to hold on to this life, if I've tried to save this life, it's so easy, because we can drift sometimes and go, oh, I've got these goals, I've got these desires, I've got these wants that it'd be great. And they may even be okay, but be willing to let go and say, God, that life, I want to let go. I don't want to care anymore. I want to lose my life for your sake and the gospel. And we think it's going to be miserable, but actually no. Remember, he's with us. There's fullness of joy. There's nothing like knowing Jesus and going, you're all I have. That's it. Nothing more. Let's be like that. I don't care. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. It's a challenging verse when I think about that. The Bible is so convicting when we see it measured up against our life. But God, when we do and we let go and we go, why did I care in the first place? Why? When we have everything in Christ that we need, we have that joy that we think we were going to get in whatever we were trying to manufacture in this life. And it is nothing compared to the life that we have in Christ. And it's right there if we surrender and come to you. Lord, I pray that we would not be part of the 98% of Christians who, although we're saved by the gospel, aren't sharing the gospel. And God, whilst we may not be able to necessarily go to a team straight away, maybe we say, God, as of this day, I'm going to pray whatever's hindering my life to not be there. Take it, God. Even if I can't get there yet, give me the strength to help me overcome my fear. Help me not care, because at the moment, maybe I do. Help that to go and help me to start caring about the things that you want. Help me to have that fear of God to do what you've asked us to do. And let's start to see that we don't just do it for one day with enthusiasm, but we'll have the strength that surely you're with us, that lo, you are with us into the end of the age. Bless everyone here and thank you. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Daily Thunder is a listener-supported production of Ellerslie Discipleship Training. At Ellerslie, we are laboring to rouse the Church of Jesus Christ out of its lethargy and build brave-hearted Christians for such a time as this. If you'd like to learn more about Ellerslie, our discipleship programs, or support the ministry financially, please go to Ellerslie.com to learn more. Thanks for listening.